The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
And good afternoon. Welcome to The Dory Monson Show here on Cairo 97.3 FM. My name is Jason Matera, guest hosting in the saddle for Dory again. Nicole, we all have to say what Dory is. I don't even know what Dory is.
Yeah, it's a secret.
It's a secret, okay.
I think he just needed some time off.
You need time off. In fact, I don't remember him taking a vacation in a while.
He had that fishing trip and stuff.
That's
but
right.
Not a lot of vacations and not a lot of extended weekends or anything like that. Really, we've been working.
Yeah.
Although I've taken a couple trips.
Well, and yeah, another one, leaving me by myself in the saddle tomorrow.
A little bit.
It's okay. So
I'll be back Monday.
We have a jam-packed show for you today. I always enjoy filling in for Dory. My goal is a modest one, Nicole, every time I'm in this chair, and that is not to lose Dory's audience over 3 hours.
I like that goal.
It's a goal. It's a modest goal. And mm-hmm. You're here to ensure that the train stays on the tracks.
Right. And you know, really quick, I didn't tell you this yesterday, even though we talked on the phone, but happy birthday.
Thank you.
I felt really bad when I saw that today and realized that I never said it yesterday.
So the reason why I was calling, I mean, listeners are going to be like, what's going on here? So Nicole and I were planning to have a conversation to talk about the show. And I'm texting her. I'm like, hey, are you good to talk now? Are you good to talk? Because I was gearing up to go out with my wife for my birthday.
Oh, man. And I should have felt guilty, too. And then I talked your ear off.
No, that was okay. I made it. I was only a few minutes late.
Didn't even mention it.
Wow. It wasn't. Because, you know, it's an important show prep.
Yeah, I like birthdays. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. Inching up towards the 4-0.
Oh, I'm already there.
Oh. Does it get better?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay. Well, I still got 2 years.
I mean, it's fine.
I know. It's whatever. I definitely have more grays now than I did 2 years prior. Because
that's not from age. That's from kids.
That's from kids. Exactly. I was going to say it.
Why I don't have them.
The White House, apparently, if you're Trump, it's different. It's a verse. But the White House ages you.
Yes.
And so do children.
Have you seen Trump since he got out of the White House?
He looks amazing.
Yeah. I so much weight has been lost.
I'm telling you.
It's crazy.
You look at
diet.
And this is not a, I think he still has Diet Coke and McDonald's. I mean, his diet is not the best.
Something had to change. Don't just drop it like that.
But all the other presidents, and this is so off topic.
A little bit.
Right? But if you look at George Bush or Obama, the White House significantly aged him. I think Trump was the exact. Almost, it was the opposite. It energized him. He was up for the...
Well, I don't think he looked that great getting out of office. I think it's just been in the last, 8 months.
But I don't think he aged significantly in office. He sort of looked...
Yeah, he looked about the same.
And now he's in, he's in Florida. He's in Mar-a-Lago. He's in right. The free state of Florida.
Can you imagine the stress of that job? I don't know why anybody signs up for that. I mean, I get the power-hungry kind of control thing, but...
Well,
man,
that was one of the
only a little bit of it's probably fun.
It was, Trump was knocked for character flaws, which, if I'm being honest, he had quite a lot of them. But the big, I would say, point of character that should be admired is he didn't need the job, right? He didn't need the money. He didn't need the power. I mean, the guy was one of the most recognized people on planet Earth, and he took it because he really did care for the direction of the country. But we're gonna save Trump because we got some Trump audio bites to play. I mean, he sounded off on Biden and Afghanistan, and it does appear like Trump is laying the groundwork for another run. But we are going to get to now the big lead.
The big lead. Top story.
And the top story is Joe Biden is going to have a press conference in a few hours. And it is on his six-pronged plan, Fox News is describing, to tackle COVID. The same guy, by the way, the same president who said we were going to be done with this is by July 4th. Remember, everyone's going to have their barbecue safely. And it seems like Biden is finally learning that a virus is just going to do what a virus wants to do as it rips through the country. But included, and this is just a preview, but sources are confirming it for many news outlets, not just Fox, but included in this new six pronged plan for Biden is going to be vaccine mandates for all federal employees and contractors, which is going to be the most controversial portion of it. He's also going to talk about booster shots and more masks. How many more mask mandates could we possibly have? This was something I don't get. Nicole, whether on a state level, and Inslee's going to have a press conference too after Biden. So get ready for something that's not good coming down the pike from our not too intelligent governor here. But I mean, how many more mask mandates could we have, and could people possibly endure?
So I don't get it, because the kids, I mean, we've been seeing all these news reports of all of these schools that are, you know, making 40 or 80 kids stay home because somebody tested positive. Mm-hmm. But all kids have to wear masks in school right mm-hmm. now in our state. So if the masks work, why do they have to stay home if they test negative? Because I have a friend whose kid tested negative after somebody in his class tested positive, but he has to stay home for 2 weeks, where the kid that tested positive only has to stay home for 10 days.
Yeah, there's no science behind
that
it.
That doesn't make sense.
Whatsoever. And well, I'm going to actually get into kids and COVID, because all four of my kids recently had COVID. A preview was a big fat nothing burger. But so the point is, with these mask mandates that Biden is going to implement, I don't know, there's speculation he's going to try to leapfrog states who have banned mask mandates, and that would run into some federalism issues and constitutional issues. But the vaccine mandate for all federal employees and contractors, which will certainly be challenged, this is not a way to persuade people. These strong arm tactics that we're seeing, and there is, of course, speculation that, well, Biden is trying to distract from the disaster that is Afghanistan. And we have more Afghanistan news coming up as well. And I do think part of it is, and this is all politics, and all politicians do this, they try to change the narrative. Biden is trying to change the story in favor of focusing on COVID, even though he was going to be the competent leader, right? He was going to bring everything back to normalcy. Is this normal? Is this normal for the federal government to be the federal government, by the way, unless you're in the military, there may be some other jobs that would require it federally. But the federal government generally does not require you to have any vaccine. I know plenty of people who have worked for the White House and in the government and in Congress. You don't have to have a vaccine for mumps or hepatitis or measles. And which, by the way, can be far more deadly than COVID. And yet we're having a vaccine mandate, which is not only a way to persuade someone, but I think is morally abominable. If somebody decides, and Nicole, I'd love to get your reaction to this, but if somebody decides that they've looked at the data, they see that the vast majority of people, 99.98% of people survive COVID just fine. They don't want to inject a drug into their body that they're not comfortable with for whatever reason. Some people are on the conspiratorial end of it. Some people just say, you know what, I'm healthy. I've consulted with my physician. I just don't. Or someone like me who has natural antibodies coursing through their system. And they say, I've just declined. For an employer, or especially for the government, a taxpayer institution, to say, the largest employer in the United States, actually, to say, no, you have to inject this drug into your body, even though you're not comfortable with it, I think is reprehensible.
Well, it's just not the way we do it here.
Well, it's not.
I just can't believe we've ended up, I guess, in this place. But I actually think, you know, I mean, if you look at data, science, all of that, and you decide that I do think the antibodies is the biggest case for that, right? Because if you've already got the antibodies, then you shouldn't need a vax. But I mean, I don't know everything about everything. But if you've made that decision, then I think there should be ways that you can prove that, like, I also have the antibodies. And you can take a test, and then can't you present that? That should be an exemption to some extent. But I do think that, I struggle with it. I don't think it should be a mandate at all. And I actually think that this form of communication is what's hurting the case for the vaccine. Because if they had come to everybody and said, hey, would you guys just do this? Because we're trying to keep everybody safe. It's the hospitals are getting full, like whatever. Then we would probably, people would be like, oh, I get it. People over 30 are getting sick. This might help me. Okay, fine. But the way that it's being forced on people just makes people dig in their feet, and it's not an effective form of communication. And that's my biggest problem with government right now is, no, I don't think there should be a mandate. And I think they should all learn to communicate better.
Well, Jen Psaki just recently said that this is blaming the unvaxxed. And it, to me, it is a specific strategy, and it's intentional on dividing people. Now Trump is gone. You need a new foil, right? You need somebody else to target. And now it's the unvaxxed, right? The unvaxxed are causing this. Well, I'm sorry. If we have a 300% increase, which we do, in COVID cases from this time last year when nobody was vaxxed, there's mathematically speaking, you can't just blame people who've decided not to get the vaccination. By the way, you assume, here's the thing. In a free country, you assume risk. I'm not going to inject, forget about COVID, the vaccine for a moment. But in general, I'm not just going to inject something in my body just because it supposedly makes my community safer. That's not how it works here. You inject something in your body because it makes you safe, first and foremost.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And this is this schizophrenia throughout the Biden administration. If the vaccine works, and listen, it appears to work very well against severe illness and hospitalization. So if it works, then you don't need a mask. You can't say you need a vaccine mandate and you need a mask. And then the people who decide they're going to assume their own risk and not get the vaccine, how does it affect someone who's vaccinated? It only affects someone who is vaccinated if the underlying assumption is the vaccine actually doesn't protect you. There's a ton of schizophrenia.
It's about trust. They just don't trust that
they don't trust
people.
You know
what?
And I don't blame it. Right now, mm-hmm. and there's, you know, moving on, talk about trust. Just yesterday, a story broke. And it's also a courtesy of Fox News, but other outlets have picked it up. There was a watchdog group called Americans for Public Trust, ironically, right? Americans for Public Trust. They have a Freedom of Information Act request with the CDC and the coordination with the teachers union. And they found that in May, for the second time, now it's been uncovered, that the teachers union, in this case, the National Education Association, was in contact with the CDC, and they were very upset that the CDC was saying that people who are vaccinated can, oh my gosh, go without masks indoors and outdoors. And the teachers union wanted to set up and did set up a meeting with high-level people within the CDC to issue guidance for schools. So when there's a lack of trust, This is what people point to, that it's been politicized. What is the teachers union? If this has to be do with science, this has to do with data, this has to do looking at the facts, right? What is the teachers union doing issuing demands to the CDC? And that's exactly what has been going on here with emails that have been uncovered. And so the teachers, the National Education Association, writes down what they think the guidance should be. And lo and behold, the CDC a few days later issues almost word for word that type of guidance. That is politics entering the COVID-19 discussion, the mask discussion, and especially now with masks for kids. This is getting insane, Nicole. It is getting insane.
Oh, I think it's already there.
Well, it's already insane. For Ada, first of all, my kids never wear masks. Never. Never wear masks. Even on airplanes, I let them just eat low sugar snacks mm-hmm. for the duration of the flight. Mike, you know why? Because I'm not an awful parent. Oh my gosh, somebody out there said, are you accusing me of being an awful parent? If you're masking your kids 8 hours a day and you think like, you know, you're part of the COVID Karens out there. They're like, oh, yeah, this is great. I found purpose for my life and my kids. Yeah, it's kind of awful. It's kind of awful. Stunts them developmentally. They need that facial expression. They need that community. You can't social distance kids from their classmates.
I do miss smiling. I'm smiling at people. I want to pull down my mask just so I can smile at a kid.
It's important for adults, too. We're meant to live in relationship and community with people. And part of that is, a large part of that's facial expression. But kids, too, are developing. And they don't, you know, my kids are actually trained very well. They see someone with a mask, they say, "Daddy, that person's silly."
Okay. See, I think that just let people do what they want to do.
Whoa.
Mind your own business.
But it's silly. It's silly.
And as long as they're only saying it to you and not to the person.
No. They're saying it loud enough that the person can hear. We're trying to work on that aspect of it. But Mike, and you know, we have a story coming up just how insane it's getting with teachers taping masks to kids' face. But my kids recently got over COVID. All of them. Nicole, it was a big, fat, nothing burger for them. My daughter, youngest daughter, who's 1 year old, had a fever, slight, barely registered fever for a half a day and took a little, you know, a nap that was a little longer. My oldest son had a slight, again, fever for maybe a day and a half. And for 2 days, he asked me if he can take a nap. He never takes naps.
I was going to say, they're all under five, correct?
They're all under five.
Yep.
And he's like, "Daddy, can I take a nap? Can I take..." Oh, my goodness. "Can we get more COVID, please? Do you want to take a nap?
Wishing illness on your children.
I'm just playing. They you know, it's a joke. But seriously, it was nothing. My other two kids, no symptoms whatsoever. And yet these are instances and reflections that aren't certainly, you know, just my kids. I mean, most kids are not affected. You look at the death rate nationally. You don't want to see any kid dying from it. But you have, like, what, 350 kids nationwide under the age of 17? See, this is my problem, Nicole, is we don't celebrate the fact, or at least are thankful for the fact that it doesn't affect kids. In fact, we're punishing kids, even though it doesn't affect them. And that is my issue. And we're going to talk about the punishing kids. We have a story coming up. Wait till you hear this audio. I was so livid when I heard it, so livid about a teacher actually taping a mask to a kid's face and making him wear it. Outrageous. Jason Matera here, guest hosting for Dory Monson here on Cairo Radio. We will be back in a flash. And good afternoon. Welcome back to the Dory Monson Show. My name is Jason Matera, guest hosting for Dory, as Dory's taking some much-needed rest and relaxation. So you got me. I've been covering politics and also true crime for more than a decade as a journalist, and I always relish the opportunity to fill in for Dory and just guest hosting in general, because radio is one of those mediums that are very intimate with you and the listener. And the audience, and it is a opportunity for, well, this is a commercial, so it's not totally 3 hours, but it's a long stretch of time where you get to flesh out topics and really have that conversation and delve into areas and subjects that sometimes you just don't have the time for when you're dealing with television. So, and plus, I get to work with Nicole. She comes in the studio just for me. Although, you're on your phone, like, what are you doing? Are you, it's, like, on Twitter?
It's work-related.
Oh, it's work-related. Okay. That's right. I can't do that. I can't be on my phone. Well, it's work-related. No, I'm supposed to be talking. Oh, you know, but Joe Biden has a press conference later, and we'll give you the news. He's going to make some more mandates on COVID. Inslee has a press conference. He's probably going to follow suit, or how many more mandates can this state need in order to fight COVID? But maybe what you're doing isn't working. Do you ever consider that? Do politicians ever consider that? Maybe my course of action is not working. But we also have breaking news. You heard it with Aaron in his news bit. The Justice Department is suing Texas over their abortion law. Most people are so ignorant on this issue. Do you know that if Roe v. Wade, I'm sure, Nicole, you know this, but it's interesting how many people don't. If Roe v. Wade were overturned, it doesn't actually outlaw abortion. It just leaves the decision to each individual state. And each individual state could have their own abortion guidelines. And even Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the late Ruth Bader Ginsburg, had said that Roe v. Wade was pretty awful constitutional law because there's you read the Constitution and there's no right to an abortion nowhere. You can't read from front to back and it's not laid out. And that's why prior to Roe v. Wade, states had their own guidelines on abortion. And it would go back to that. And most people just, oh, my gosh. And some of the politicians who know better, but they want to they want to gaslight and capitalize on the issue politically. But anyway, back to Biden. Biden had a press conference with union labor groups yesterday. And Nicole, for the life of me, I don't get why Biden continues to do this and why a staffer, maybe staffers have pulled him inside and said, hey, you can't do this. This is really creepy. But he speaks in somewhat, you know, his fossilized normal tone at this point. But then he goes into this creepy whisper. And so I'm going to play it. And I don't, for the life of me, I don't know why he continues to do this unless, you know, there's something going on up there that's, well, it's not all there.
Victories for all of us. Because I might add, you know, I notice when you all do that, everybody benefits.
What is that?
Whether they belong to a union or not.
What is that?
He thinks it's cute.
What is it? But he's not like, it's not cute. He's speaking to adults in the room.
But they laugh. That's what he was going for.
No, but that's nervous laughter. That's like, oh my gosh.
We know that.
Well, he doesn't know that. Maybe he does. But he does this also to when he's speaking to like tweens too.
Mm-hmm.
He does it. It's creepy. Jill doesn't pull him aside and say, hey, you know, don't do that. Like, who leans forward? He does it to the press too. It's not cute. But anyway, for a while now, there have been many of us in the media, and not just conservative media. There's others who have noted this, but in the media who said that, you know, Biden's really not running the show. That it's either Ron Klein or somebody else behind the scenes. Maybe it's Susan Rice who's really pulling the strings because Biden he rarely takes questions. And then he reads these agenda items either on the teleprompter or in his notes in front of him that he's not supposed to read out loud. He's not supposed to say this part out loud. And he does as though it's no big deal. In this instance, I won't ruin it for you, but you're going to pick up how he's not supposed to actually read and say aloud what he just did.
You brought me along, and you've always been there. Now, I'm supposed to stop and walk out of the room here. I'm going to stop.
Do you notice, to play that, the audience laughs. Like, they're in on it that Biden should not be taking questions. They're in on it that Biden doesn't have the faculties. And then they're in on it that you're not supposed to read this. I'm supposed to stop and walk out of the room. And then he decides he's not going to stop and walk out of the room. Well, you're the president. Who is like, you're the leader of the free country. You are the commander in chief. Who is telling you that you have to stop and walk out? You set the agenda. You make the rules. And if someone ahead of time is saying, well, you know, hey, buddy, or Mr. President, you know, just stop and walk out. And that's probably notated, like, stop talking, no more talking. You read your notes, you read the teleprompter, and walk out of the room. And it's concerning for that our commander in chief, because it's not just we the people here who can see this, but our enemies can see this abroad. Our allies can see this, that it very much appears on a daily basis that we have a weak, a feeble president who just is not the Joe Biden. Now, the Joe Biden of yesteryear was not exactly the sharpest, right? Yeah. No one ever said, man, that Joe Biden is one smart dude. And now we have Joe Biden, who is clearly in a decline. And at some point it becomes, I mean, it's embarrassing for the country, but it's embarrassing for him. And it's almost elder abuse. Like, why would you even subject this man to this? And it's only going to get worse. And I have a running bet with some friends, and it's, Nicole, I hate because it's a morbid bet. And it's not for money. It's just, you know, for bragging rights. And no one wants to be right on this one. But there is a bet I have with people on whether Biden makes it for a full term. Because we, even just in the last 8 months, we started the show talking about how the presidency ages a person, right? Substantially. And how Trump looks much better out of office than in office. And you probably can say that with any president. Well, how much margin does Biden have for aging?
Well, it depends on how much work he's actually doing.
I know. Sundown Joe, he's, you know, he's having his press conference. By the way, most presidents, when they have their press conferences and they speak to the nation, it's usually at night, right? 9 p.m. Eastern time.
After, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're done with dinner. Has Joe done that? I think he's done that maybe once that I can remember for the State of the Union. But besides that, everything he does is what? At like
5 o'clock.
Yeah,
Eastern.
5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's not like he's trying to get the early bird special. I mean, come on now. There's something, and I hate to say it, but there's something there. Speaking of Trump, I don't know. Nicole, are we going to have time for this or should we?
We can hang on to it. You can play one. Play one as a tease.
Play one. Okay. So Trump had an interview with Greg Gutfeld of Fox. And we're going to get into Trump. I think he's laying the groundwork for another run. But here is just a taste of the interview.
Okay. There are no more mean tweets. And we have a really nice president. And the country is in the crapper. So who would you rather have?
Well, I don't know that he's a nice president. I'm not sure about that. But yeah. I can tell you the country has never been more unsafe. We have people pouring in through our southern border, which everyone's forgetting about right now because of the travesty of Afghanistan. And if you look at the people coming in by the hundreds, by the thousands, and these are not the people necessarily that wanted the protection.
Right.
These are people. So are they terrorists? How many terrorists are coming in? And they were aggressive, very aggressive at the plane, and they pushed their ways, their way onto the plane.
And by the way, some of them have been identified by the State Department as terrorists. And who knows, because the vetting process was not thorough. But we're going to get more into this interview Trump had with Gutfeld, and also how Blinken, our noted and esteemed Secretary of State, is chiding the Taliban for not having an inclusive government. Oh, did that shock you, Anthony Blinken, that the Taliban is not inclusive? Did that shock you? Did that surprise you? Did you wake up and go, oh my goodness, I thought the Taliban was going to have women in their government. I thought they were going to be representative. I thought they were going to bow to the altar of diversity. Apparently he did. Jason Matera, guest hosting for Dory Monson. We will be back in a flash. We are back. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Dory Monson Show with me, Jason Matera, your guest host today, as Dory's taking some much needed rest and relaxation. So got me and you got Nicole, and we are holding down the fort for Dory in his absence. We're speaking of and we teased it. Donald Trump had a sit down on camera interview with Greg Gutfeld. Most of his interviews nowadays are just he's just calling in to a show. This was actually a sit down, but Greg dealt with the Taliban specifically in Afghanistan. What went wrong? Because remember, we know that this drawdown and eventual leaving of Afghanistan was negotiated under Donald Trump, and that's what the Biden administration was trying to blame for this disastrous pullout. It was Trump's, Trump negotiated all this. We couldn't do anything. We had to be out by this certain date. And of course, that was nonsense and BS. Biden is the president and Biden can alter whatever date he wants. And he can also, by the way, not make sure we arm the Taliban with billions of dollars worth of equipment, leaving service dogs. That probably upset me the most. That upset me the most, Nicole, is you have these poor service dogs. These canines in cages, and you just leave them there? I mean, why couldn't you just put them on the airplane? Who, like, what callous, individuals says, "No, we're gonna leave them here like they're just discarded equipment." I was probably more upset with that than I was with the Humvees and the helicopters and all the automatic weapons that were left.
Yeah, it made me sad for sure.
And you do. Anyway, I know. It's despicable. So here's Trump talking about what went wrong with Biden's pullout.
When you think that they moved the military out first, think of this, because yep. We had a great plan.
It's
you
backwards.
Know, even Biden, I think he made a mistake when they did it. They were all screaming at him. But when he said that since President Trump, or he calls it the past administration, signed the deal, not one soldier was shot at or killed. Yeah. Think of that. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because they knew the consequences.
Yeah.
And our conditions were tough. And then they came in and they just moved out. Who would move out the military first? The military goes last and safely. And sadly, those 13 great soldiers and 200 people, you know, 200 yeah. people, more than 200 people were killed. And a lot of people are badly injured, really badly injured. It wouldn't have happened.
I don't think it would have happened. I mean, Trump is right. He did negotiate with the Taliban. But this is how he told Gutfeld how he dealt with the Taliban. And it was in his, you know, Trump, very tough negotiating style. And there's one thing you know you have to respect about Trump is he truly, truly wanted to put America and Americans first. There's no way he would have allowed the conditions on the ground to operate to a degree where 13 American soldiers died. But here's how he says he dealt with the Taliban.
When you hear, I could just say, because I dealt with Abdul.
Right.
Let's call him Abdul. Mm-hmm. But that's the man.
Yes.
And he's
Abdul.
Now the head of the Taliban, and
right.
he was the head of the Taliban when I dealt with him. And I started it off very tough because, you know, you're going to pay tremendous consequences. I don't have to go the level of toughness, but it was bad. And they understood what I said. And there was no way they were going to do anything to us. We could have taken our time. We could have taken a year, 2 years. But to leave $85 billion worth of equipment mm-hmm. for them to fly around Apache helicopters. So this is the greatest war machine outside of the submarine. This is the greatest war machine there is, the Apache.
Right.
They're very, very, you know, tens of millions of dollars. They have 28 of them.
Yes.
That's more than any other country in the world has except for us.
It is remarkable how he armed a terrorist organization, and the media couldn't really care less about this point. But Trump is who doubts Trump that he told the Taliban straight up, you know, you mess with me, we're going to turn, you know, your caves into a big parking lot. We're going to turn your caves into a big ice skating rink. And they knew Trump meant business. And that's why the transition out of Afghanistan, which was probably, you know, 18 years overdue, would have happened far more smoothly. But you know what? The Taliban is in charge, and Antony Blinken, our Secretary of State, he's very upset, Nicole, with the Taliban. He's disappointed with them. Do you know why he's disappointed? Blinken says he's disappointed because they don't have an inclusive government.
We're also concerned by the affiliations and track records of some of those individuals.
Oh, you are?
We understand the Taliban has presented this as a caretaker cabinet. Oh. We will judge it and them by its actions. The international community has made clear its expectation that the Afghan people deserve an inclusive government.
Oh, they deserve. Oh, and you know what the Taliban's going to say? Pound sand. Pound the sand that we have here. Antony Blinken. Oh, the international community is going to demand an inclusive government. And, you know, we're concerned with some of these characters who are in their interim government. Oh, like actual terrorists that are on our FBI most wanted list. Oh, you're concerned? Are you surprised? And he speaks in these like cold diplomatic terms as though his speechifying is going to shake the Taliban. And it's going to cause them to have an inclusive government as though, you know, they're going to start. Oh, my gosh. Antony Blinken said we need an inclusive government. We're going to start reading lesbian novels since World War II here in Kabul now. And the Kabul University, that's what we're going to have. We're going to have equity as our focus here. We're going to have diversity. We're going to look. You know, the Taliban doesn't care about any of that. And it's a height of arrogance to think that they would care for any of this woke politics in Afghanistan, out of all places. Jason Matera, guest hosting for Dory Monson. We have the fastest 15 coming up, and AOC has an interesting category for women. You'll hear it.